Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. This year, more than any other year, the word risen stands out for me. That's because this year, more than any other year, death has become much broader than the ending of an individual life. There's death everywhere. But actually going through death is the only way we can have a risen life. If you haven't died, you can't rise. As a priest, the reality of the ending of a person's life is sacred. Journeying with a person to their last breath, and then weeping with a family after the mysterious stillness of death begins. These are some of the most poignant times of my ministry. This year, death is bigger than I've ever known it. Of 1.8 million people on this planet infected by a brand new virus, COVID-19, over 10% have died. And that's all since January 11th of this year, just 93 days ago. We all have stuff in our refrigerator that's been around longer than that. All the usual reasons that people die are still around, of course. But we've kind of gotten used to a lot of those reasons. Car wrecks and heart attacks are part of our human landscape. But this new cause of death is like an enormous alien spacecraft, so huge. I'm thinking of like Independence Day or Star Wars, where the alien spacecraft eclipses the entire sky and blocks out the sun. The deaths this virus caused weren't only those of people. Normalcy has also died. Our very reality has shifted in just 3 months, and it isn't done shifting yet. For us in the United States, the loss of normalcy began just about the same time that Lent did, in late February, early March. And it was then that the impact of the pandemic began steamrolling through our lives and our calendars. The Reverend Jay Sidebotham, an Episcopal priest whose blog I read, wrote this past Monday that a friend had commented that with COVID-19's pandemic beginning just after Ash Wednesday, that this was the lentiest Lent I've ever lented. The lentiest Lent I've ever lented. That really resonates with me, especially this Holy Week. All the plans I've honed over 20 years of ministry on how to do Holy Week and Easter and even Lent were swept away in the blink of an eye. Rituals and events that focused on an ancient story of God's grace in times of oppression, plague, and the death of the innocent, stories from thousands of years ago, all of a sudden have to be reimagined for a current time, where pestilence once again stalks and upends lives, economies, schools, families, and a whole lot of our assumptions. The question this Sunday, this Feast of the Resurrection, this celebration of the very foundation of our Christian faith, is whether we can truly embrace what we prayed at the beginning of our service in our collect today, where we pray, increase in our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ, where we go through death to a risen life. If we can do this, this could be the Easteriest Easter we've ever Eastered. The risen life of Christ is the eternal life of God, the eternal one. And this eternal life has been something that God's been promising to God's people for a very long time. Jeremiah proclaimed it to the people suffering through the devastations and the chaos of war. The sword in Jeremiah's time, the sword was very real, but it could not cut God's people off from God. The Lord, says Jeremiah, says, I have loved you with a love that lasts forever. And so with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Again, I will build you up, and you will play your tambourines and dance with joy. That's the risen life. That's the life of the eternal one. That's what Easter is all about. For us to have the easteriest Easter we've ever Eastered in the midst of the chaos of disease and economic collapse, we need to grasp that the love of God is meant for all humanity. And to do what God does with humanity, to build people up, all people, everywhere, until everyone knows joy. In Colossians, we are told, you died. This is talking about our baptisms, where we were buried with Christ in baptism. We died to the old life we'd lived. And as we are buried with Christ in baptism, our life is hidden with Christ in God. And as we are hidden with Christ in God, we are to think about the things above. That's the risen life. We're not supposed to think about things of earth, but how Christ lives. And then it goes on to say, when Christ, who is your life now, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed in you, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. That's the risen life from Easter. That's what Easter is all about. For us to have the easteriest Easter we have ever Eastered, we are to die to all of the ways of living our lives that do not faithfully and intentionally mirror the life of Jesus. We are to live such Jesus-shaped lives that when people see our Christ light shine in our actions, they give glory not to us, but to our Father in heaven. In the gospel, two women go in sorrow to a tomb, assuming that, as it has always been, death has the final word. And they are confronted with an absolutely new reality. The man crucified by the perennial human forces of hatred and injustice has emerged through the other side of death to life beyond death, to the risen life. The women encountered their risen Lord, and he sends them racing off to tell the news of how reality itself has changed. Death has lost its power. It is no longer the final word. Now, notice that there are soldiers at that very same tomb who see exactly the same scene that the women do, and they race off to tell the priests and the elders the news of how reality itself has changed, that death has lost its power. But the old forces of hatred and injustice don't want a new reality. They won't accept a new reality. They are addicted to their power over others, their elite status and ability to control, appealing to the old ways of greed, denial, and willful ignorance. The authorities pay the soldiers to lie about what they saw. Lies don't change facts, but they are excellent at fomenting the chaos that permits the oppressive forces of selfish control to thrive. Back at the tomb, what did Jesus do with his risen life, with his new reality, with his life beyond death? Did he take a page from the old human ways and wreak vengeance on everyone who betrayed, denied, judged, tortured, and killed him? Or did he live into the ways of the eternal life, the life of the eternal one, loving, forgiving, blessing, equipping, and sending human beings to do as he had done, faithfully and intentionally mirroring his life in proclaiming the new reality. For us to have the easteriest Easter we have ever Eastered, do you think we need to be like the women, telling the truth about how everything has changed? Like Jesus, who forgave those who handed him over to die? Or should we be like the priests, the elders, and the soldiers, clinging to lies in order to shore up the old ways and their old privilege? Which one speaks of Easter to you? Since January 11th, we've seen a lot of death, and the tolls keep climbing. Over 100,000 human lives, each one of them precious to God, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, children, lovers, husbands, and wives, have died. We have also seen the death of many assumptions about our normalcy, what we think we need, what we choose to want. We have been exposed to the tremendous impact one life can have on many, many others, people we don't know, and how a single person can make a choice on something as simple as what to eat that changes everything for everybody, everywhere, forever. And although this virus has been called the Great Leveler, affecting people of every nation, race, and religion, we have also had our blinders ripped off. It is indeed the poor, the homeless, and the vulnerable who have been far more devastated by this disease than those of us who have resources, homes, and most of all, good health. With so much death and chaos around us, it is so tempting to deny the changes, to cling to that old reality we had back in November, especially if that old reality really worked well for us. Remember, though, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God the Son, proclaims the hard truth that actually going through death is the only way we can have a risen life. For us to have the Easteriest Easter we have ever Eastered, we each need to die to our old ways and faithfully and intentionally seek a new way of living. As we said, as we prayed in our collect, that God increase in our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ. So what does a risen life look like to you? To frame this, I offer another blog post, one first published on March 16th, not quite a month ago. It's by a woman named Kitty O'Meara. It's been all over social media. You've probably seen it. But I'm going to read it again. It's called In the Time of Pandemic. In the time of pandemic, and the people stayed home, and they read books, and listened, and rested, and exercised, and made art, and played games, and learned new ways of being, and were still. And they listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced, some met their shadows. And the people began to think differently, and the people healed. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless, and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully as they had been healed. There are many kinds of deaths, and every kind is very, very real. But no kind of death is more powerful than the love of God, who has promised in plagues and wars and chaos, ancient and modern, that I have loved you with a love that lasts forever. God bless each of us and every one of God's children this year, of all years, with the risen life in Christ, so that we have the Easteriest Easter we have ever Eastered. Alleluia! Christ is risen! The Lord is risen indeed! Alleluia! Alleluia.